On the line now, I have John Mark McCaffrey, and he's the CEO of Threshold. Good afternoon, John Mark. How are you?
Good morning.
Okay. The line sounds a little dodgy, but we'll carry on and see whether it improves a little bit. Just talking about the tenancy protection service that you have, just explain it a little bit to our listeners.
Sure, it's an 1800 number, so it's a free phone number, 1800-454-454. It has been in place for some time, but we launched across the state. We launched nationally last week. And what the service provides is advice and also a level of support when people are worried that they're renting and they're worried about losing their tenancy, worried about losing their home. So the Tenancy Protection Service was created a number of years ago when rent started to increase substantially. And people were seeing, especially lower income tenants were really struggling to hold on to the tenancies that they had. I guess in recent months, what we're seeing partly with changes in legislation is that tenants are reporting that their landlords are intending to sell the property, and their tenancies may be at risk as a result. Tenancies may be terminated as a result. So the role of the Tenancy Protection Service in Dublin, but also across the country, is to give tenants the best advice possible and information in relation to the rights and the legislation, and to assist them if they need to be, assisted with regard to interacting with their landlord, and also for Threshold to be involved with the landlord, just to speak with the landlord to ascertain what's going on, and to try and find some kind of workable arrangement. Now, it's not an absolute guarantee that we can save every tenancy if a landlord decides that they wish to sell their home and they no longer wish to let that home, and they are on the right side of all of the laws and regulations, then they may continue on with the selling of the home, and often that means the termination of the tenancy. It doesn't always mean that. You can sell a property with a sitting tenant, and that may be, you know, a going concern that a buyer may wish to kind of factor in.
Okay. So you act, John Mark, as intermediary in the course of negotiations. Is that part of it as well, the service?
Yeah. Look, we're in the tenant's corner. So, you know, we're not necessarily, you know, we're not the same as the Residential Tenancies Board, who sit kind of in the middle between tenants and landlords. You know, we are explicitly working with and empowering and informing and advising tenants and renters. Now, landlords do approaches as well for information, but the landlords are well served with, you know, their various representative bodies and advisory bodies. So it's our experience that the people with least information, least power, least resources, and sometimes with less capabilities, our tenants generally, not all, but many tenants are struggling. You know, they're trying to live their lives. They're in a home. They're trying to hold on to their home. They have other stresses and strains in terms of their budgets. You know, they're managing their income with their outgoings, catering responsibilities, and all the other kind of life issues and events that we all deal with. And then they're you know, maybe out of the blue, they are hit with a notice to quit, or, you know, some kind of communication from the landlord which sets them a tailspin or causes concern regarding whether or not they can stay in the tenancy. And, you know, often all the tenants and the renters need at that point is information.
Okay. Sometimes communication gets sort of skewed a little bit, and that's all it needs, someone to come in and still the waters. But in the 3 years since it's come in, 3,000 households had a tenancy protected. What's the duration of protection on tenancy now? For instance, has anything been done over the years? If I went out and rented tomorrow, what sort of tenure have I got?
Yeah, Well, you should have a 6-year tenancy, but that depends on you kind of fulfilling your first 6 months, kind of almost like a probation period.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first 6 months of your tenancy, a landlord can end a tenancy for no particular reason. I mean, they have to give a reason, but the reason doesn't, you know, have to be something which is kind of very well thought out or justifiable, as long as they give a reason. So there is some level of vulnerability there in the first 6 months. So one of the welcome things with the recent legislation at the end of last year, beginning of this year, was that extension of what's known as Part 4 tenancies from 4 years to 6 years. That said, there are still grounds where tenancies can be terminated, on the grounds of antisocial behaviour or, you know, the non-payment of rent, or indeed where the landlord intend to sell and they have to show their intention that or their action to sell in that regard.
Okay, is that the longest? Sorry for interrupting you, Mark. John Mark, is that the longest tenancy you can get? 6 years, you know.
Yes, but I mean obviously that can be rolled over, and often renters stay a lot longer than that.
Okay.
There are no such things in the private rental sector as permanent tenancies. It may turn out that people are in tenancies for many, many years, but they won't know at the beginning of that tenancy for sure that they have the right to a very long-term tenancy. And that is one of the big shifts that we need, both legislatively and as a society, to to move towards those, you know, semi-permanent or more permanent tenancies like we have in mainland Europe, where people can rely on, you know, having a house for maybe a generation or more.
Yes,
you know, assuming that they fulfill all their obligations as a tenant. So that's something we are campaigning about in relation to lengths of...
Yeah, we need some stabilisation, because just looking at the figures today, things seem to be getting worse. There's over nearly 8,000 people in the experiencing homelessness, and nearly a fifth of those are children. So, I mean, something needs to be done drastically. The minister seems to be saying he's going to have it all figured out, and from talking by the end of the year, but from talking to Threshold and other agencies over the years, that's been said many a time.
Absolutely. There are lots of promises. I do believe the current minister is very, very committed to trying to fix the housing problem, but this is a problem, unfortunately, that won't take, you know, 1 year or even one electoral cycle to fix. So it's a problem that many, many ministers preside over time. And it's a problem that started back in the 1980s by the deliberate decision of successive governments not to invest in social housing. Now, during the early years of the recession, when rents were low, it was less of an issue because demand was lower, rents were lower. Now, affordability is a relative issue. Some people still found rents very, very expensive, but generally speaking, they were lower, they were a little more affordable. The last 2-3 years have been a perfect storm, where you have no houses being built since about 2009, either social housing or private housing. And you have a ramping up in demand, leading to a ramping up in rents, fewer people taking on mortgages to move into owner occupation. So you have more middle-income renters staying in the rented sector rather than buying, which might have been, which was more of the tendency.
Mm-hmm. But also, but as well, John Mark, also you had the legislation brought in about the bed sits. It was calamitous when you think about it, and it was comic as well when you think about what people, the conditions people are living in today. They do away one thing and sort of they don't care what way people are living now, which was a bad bit of legislation. I mean, it sounded good at the time, but in the situation of homelessness that we had, it wasn't really a great idea. I know Threshold and some of the agencies were glad the legislation was brought in, but it's coming back to bite now a little bit as well, because it's exacerbating the situation terribly, isn't it?
Well, it's our sense that many bed sits really were not fit for people living in, and they were representative of a low quality private rented sector, like a lot of units, a lot of houses and mm-hmm. exits being a very, very poor quality. And the current crisis wasn't caused by the ban on bedsits. The current crisis was caused by a number of things. A lack of social housing for the last 30 years.
I know, but it was in the middle of... John, it was in the middle of the crisis that they brought in the legislation. We had a problem with homelessness at the time. Now, as I said, I'm just pointing out a fact as the way it was, the situation was, in a sense, made worse. And, I mean, they were paying... I know you said, people were paying rent for maybe not the best conditions, but at the same time, families in hotel rooms is not the best conditions either. And the government is paying, I'm sure, heavily for that.
Sure. Look, families in hotel rooms is far from ideal, and we want an end to that. The end to that is a home, and mm-hmm. is a good quality home. And while the ban on bedsits will have reduced supply somewhat, that was designed at a time. I mean, the legislation for that was happened actually at the very beginning of the crisis. So the demands in the private rented sector were a lot lower. The rent levels were a lot lower at that time when that legislation was being drafted. So I guess what we're trying to do with the housing sector generally is lots of different things at the same time, and some of that can create unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. But essentially, if we had a healthy housing sector that had sufficient social housing, that had sufficient private housing being built, and that had the kind of regulations and private rented protection all along that we're only now seeing through the Private mm-hmm. Residential Tenancies Act, through the board, we wouldn't be in the situation we are.
Indeed. Well, to finish off, I'm just sort of running out of time, the Tenancy Protection Service that you run, it's really, really wonderful. And the way it's changing, can you see it even improving more as, the course of our society is changing as well, and the way people rent more, and looks like it's going to be more renting in the future unless the government does something drastic. Do you think there'll be more amendments to the Protection Service in the coming years?
Well, what we've seen even in the last 10 days is a real ramp up in demand. Mm-hmm. The Tenancy Protection Service, the 1800-454-454 number, and that's a good sign for us that people know that the service exists, that they are availing of the service, the free phone number. Mm-hmm. And that service is there to support people. It's there to try to ensure that families and individuals can stay in their homes, that they can avoid homelessness, through speaking with our advisors and through our advisors liaising with landlords and doing what they do best, which is preventing homelessness.
Okay.
Like the private rented sector here is here to stay, and we're ambitious for it. It should be a viable private rented sector for both landlords and tenants alike, but it needs to be high quality, it needs to be fair, it needs to be affordable.
Okay, and you're watching out for that. Well, I'll give that free phone number for the Tenancy Protection Service. It is 1800-454-454, and it's a free telephone line. John Mark McCaffrey, CEO of Threshold, thank you very much for joining us on Northside today.
Thank you.
And again, that free phone for the Tenancy Protection Service is 1800-454-454.